السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. After the previous year, where we were not able to hold and conduct the Sira intensive in person, we had it online instead. We are able to hold the Sira intensive in person once again. We're super excited here at Qalam to be able to bring back the experience, the event, the excitement, the benefit, just overall, the amazing experience of the Sira Intensive. So inshallah, alhamdulillah, it'll be in Dallas, Texas, during the winter break, where people will be coming together from all over the country, all of our instructors, all of the scholars, all of the teachers, everyone will be here together, having the Sira intensive, learning the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and learning to love and falling in love with the one who loved us so much. So inshallah, please go to the Qalam website. You can go to qalamintensives.com, check out all the information. And I know the first question someone's going to ask is, can I take it online still? And the answer is yes. Alhamdulillah, the Sira Intensive will be available online. It will be possible for someone to take it online if they need to. But we're super duper excited about everyone coming here and joining us in person. So inshallah, go to the Qalam website, check it out. We look forward to having you here with us at the Sira Intensive. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Mm-hmm. There were not many rulings at all. In fact, prayer wasn't even revealed in the standard mode that we know it in until much later. During the entire period of the Meccan era, prayer was not revealed in the five daily with the different raka'at breakdowns. That's not how it was, right? So it's very interesting to know that these themes differed. In Madani Quran, in the Medinan Quran, when it was revealed in Medina, you started to see more of the formative rules and the formative rulings that came from being later, being established, right? Why? Because in the beginning, what was more important? Following the devotional rules or establishing faith? Establishing faith. So Surah Al-Fatiha, the first thing that you see in this book when you open the book is not rules. Isn't that crazy? When my dad first converted, he was told that he had to change his name and that no more Big Macs. That's what he was told, right? And he was like, why do I have to change my name? He never did. But he was like stunned. You know, no one told him when he first converted about like Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like no one talked to him about that stuff, right? It was just rules. But it's interesting because people spoke on behalf of Allah in a way Allah didn't even speak. Like that's not how Allah planned it. That's not how Allah gave it to us. That first chapter was not about rules and regulations, don't do this. In fact, there was literally not a single rule mentioned in the first chapter of the Quran. So when we think about how we talk to people who are just accepting or re-engaging or even ourselves, like how do I want to refocus my faith? We have to ask ourselves, like, where am I starting? And sometimes if you start with the rules, it can be way too much to handle in the beginning. Way too much to handle, right? Because why? Because the faith is the fuel that motivates a person to even stick to it, right? So Surah Al-Fatiha is revealed in Mecca. Now, Surah Al-Fatiha has many names. And it's kind of cool that it has many names, but one of the things that the Arabs do is that if they love something, they give it many names. Okay, so they'll create a lot of nicknames for it, or they'll call it many things. Like for example, they say that the lion in Arabic has over 100 words that refer to the lion because they love lions. I guess I don't know. They love lions. Makes sense that Detroit has a bunch of Arabs. Okay, so the first one that they call Surah Al-Fatiha has Umm al-Kitab, the mother of the book, the mother of the Quran. Now this isn't talking about like literal mother, but it's saying the source. That everything in the Quran, you ready for this? Everything that you read in the Quran, every verse has to be read with the lens of Surah Al-Fatiha. It's the preface. It's the beginning. It's the introduction. And remember, like the Quran and the way that it was organized is not haphazard. It wasn't like, oh, let's just put it here. Let's just put it there. This was taught to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, taught to the companions by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by Jibreel Alayhi Salam, by Allah. So we believe that the organization of the Quran itself, not just the Quranic revelation, the actual organization of the chapters and the passages and all of that, Jibreel would tell the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, put this here, put that there, this goes after this. And every year in Ramadan, they would review and revise until the final year of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life when they did it twice. And so that organization was there. And so this chapter, imagine when you meet someone for the first time, that this is going to be the introduction. What are they going to tell you? Right? We'll talk about that inshallah when we jump in. Number two, Sab'ul Mathani, the seven often repeated verses. That's another nickname that was given to this. And it's actually mentioned in the Quran. Sab'ul Mathani, the seven often repeated verses. We talked about why it's repeated often. Alhamd, it's called Alhamd. Alhamd means the praise, because it begins in its second verse, or first according to some, by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing that a person does in their faith, think about this. The first thing that a Muslim does in their faith, in their prayer, in any moment, is say Alhamdulillah. That is the universal statement that can always be said. There's never a single moment that a person exists where they can't utter that statement. As bad as things might be, as difficult as times might be, a person can always say Alhamdulillah. And that's why the surah that's recited 17 times is called Alhamd. It's also called As-Salah, the prayer. Why? Because La Salata illa bi Fatihatil Kitab. Number five, Ash-Shifa. What does Shifa mean? The cure. Very good. Not like the band. 90s people? No? Kind of? Not so? Okay, the cure? Legit band. Okay, anyways. Astaghfirullah. Okay, so, Shifa, right? Okay, Shifa. I just really aged myself. Them is smashing pumpkins. So, okay, Ash-Shifa. Shifa is the cure. Why is it a cure? Have you guys ever had a Surah Al-Fatiha read on you by your grandparents? He's like, what are you doing? Yeah, seven times. Very good. Like, what are you doing? Alhamdulillah, I mean, right? You think it's kind of over the top until you have kids, right? Musa, apparently, as I was here getting ready, Mehreen just sends me a picture of blood, and I'm like, what happened? And she's like, he tried to shave. Long story, we got a haircut today together, and I think he saw the person, the barber, shaving the back of my neck right here, like shaving it down. And I think he was like, why don't I get to shave? So he tried to shave his mustache. And apparently it's not that bad. I don't know. I kind of want to like run home right after this because I'm so worried. But you think it's over the top to recite Surah Al-Fatiha until your kid gets hurt. And then you're like, you're doing like memorization of all of your Quran over your child. You're reciting everything you got, right? Five times. You're just reading it. Because why? The Prophet ﷺ said that the opening of the book, Al-Fatihatul Kitab, is a cure for every sickness. In it, there's cure for every sickness. And again, some people might be sitting here, you're like, you know what? I don't think that that's possible. Like, I don't think that that's reasonable. Look, man, subhanAllah. I was just talking to somebody about this today. There, Allah Ta'ala is so incredibly amazing and powerful that He created different mechanisms of shifa, of cure, different mechanisms of barakah, of blessing, across different realms of practice. Allah made shifa in some things that He gave us. Allah taught us and gave us the ability to compound different medicines and medication, to come up with different compounds that would give us relief and give us cure from different diseases. And Allah also gave us a mechanism spiritually that one of its benefits is that it's curing, right? Who would have thought, subhanAllah, who would have thought even 100 years ago, 200 years ago, whatever, that all these conversations surrounding stress and anxiety and depression and all of the mental health struggles and ailments that people have, who would have connected that with physical difficulties, right? I mean, we still as a community have trouble even admitting it exists. Right? That people can have depression, that they can become stressed out. But we know from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ that during the time of Aisha radiallahu anha, when there was a rumor about her that she was, wala'idhu billah, unfaithful to the Prophet ﷺ, the rumor was so hurtful that she developed a fever. You guys know that? It was so painful to her that somebody would perpetuate this lie about her, and that people were so confused that she actually fell sick in bed. Right? So, is it that unreasonable to think that, you know what, if we can connect stress and anxiety with physical sickness, 100 years ago people would say you're crazy, then why can't we also say that there's some benefits and some ailments, both physically and spiritually, that connect? Of course we can. So the Quran has shifa in it. Surah Al-Fatiha is one of them. And then the last one that I'll give you is the asas al-Quran. It's the foundation of the Quran. It's the basis of the Quran. Okay, and that's self-explanatory. So let's start, inshallah, let's begin. Because what I want to do is I don't want this to become just a lecture, but we're going to start talking a little bit about Surah Al-Fatiha. I'm going to get a little bit fancy here with everybody. All right, welcome to college class, Quran 101. Okay. I don't know who your professor is. I just showed up. All right, this should, yeah. All right, okay. Can everyone see, kind of? One half of the room? Okay, good. All right. So how does Surah Al-Fatiha begin? What's the first word? What's the first sentence in the Quran? I want you to imagine something before we start, okay? You don't know what Islam is. You don't know who Allah is. You have no idea about any of this stuff. And then you bump into somebody at Trader Joe's. Just seems like the kind of place you bump into a Muslim. Maybe, okay? And you ask them, you're like, okay, what's this whole Islam thing? Why are you wearing that? Why do you talk like that? Why is your name like that? And you're like, oh, I'm Muslim, right? And which, by the way, I've started doing way more consciously now than I did before. I used to wear a thobe like in public, and when people ask me, I'm like, oh, you know, it's a cultural dress. Now I'm like, I'm Muslim, and Muslims sometimes wear these dresses. And just to make it clear, I'm like, my wife really likes them too, right? So I try to make it like abundantly clear. But I say, it's not just cultural, dude. Like, it's not just cultural. Like, I let people know, like, in my faith, in my faith tradition, like, modesty is something that is celebrated. And this is seen as like a very nice, modest dress. Like, this is why I dress like this. So you might get asked this question at any level, okay? Maybe, why do you wear that on your head? Or why aren't you in a bathing suit? Or why are you this and that? Dude, don't be afraid to just be like, yeah, my religion teaches me this trait, this principle, and this is how it's manifest in my clothing, right? But it's also a personality thing. It's also a characteristic of my etiquette, of my manners, all that, right? But don't be afraid. So you bump into somebody, they're wearing a thobe. You're like, what's that? You know, you think that they're Angel Gabriel, and you ask them, and they give you a Quran. The first thing you do is you open it. You open it and you turn and you see this line. Now, pause with me for a second. This line that we say before we eat, before we step into our car, before we do anything, sign paperwork for a new house, whatever. This line is the line that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself wanted everyone who got to know him for the first time to hear first. Isn't that crazy? It could have been anything. It could have been anything. Like, literally, think of any verse in the Quran. Think of any description of Allah. He could have chosen anything. And this is what he chose. Okay? That's a lot of weight. Now, think about the first time that you met somebody. You get into a plane, sit down, you try to put your headphones on, but you're not fast enough, so the person next to you says, hey. Right? You're like, God. And then you're like, yeah. And you leave the headphone right here just so they know that this is not an entire flight thing. Right? You're just like, yeah. Huh? And you're like slowly putting it back in. You're like, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, can't hear you anymore, right? Okay. Or you get my favorite. You get into an Uber. Yeah. Anyways. So just, this is like the least Islamic thing I could say. Just don't talk to anybody. Just leave everybody alone. Okay. So someone asks you, right? You're on a plane. They're like, hey, what's going on? You know, people are just very courageous, mashallah, and they want to just meet everybody. So they say, hey, what's going on? You're like, hey, what's going on? Tell me about yourself. What's your name? My name is Abdurrahman. Okay, so how does Allah begin? Allah begins Surah Al-Fatiha with two words, okay? Plus. Shaykh Nasr is going to make fun of me when he sees my handwriting. There we go. Okay. Ba and Ism. Okay, Ba has, believe it or not, 7 different meanings in the Arabic language. Everyone's like, why did my friend tell me to come to this thing? What did I just do? The chicken tenders were not that good. I didn't even get one. It just smells like chicken tenders and paint. Okay. All right, so what have I done? No, this is really cool. Listen, this is really amazing, okay? Why? Because Bismillah means what? What have we been taught that it means? In the name of Allah. Wow, how amazing that everybody knows that one translation, but there's how many? Oh no. See, technology is not there yet, guys. This is why I don't buy Tesla. Okay, so She's not there yet. You guys who let it drive for you, man, read your du'as. So, seven meanings. Not just in the name of Allah. What does that even mean, too? Like, what does that even mean? We repeat it because we know that that is one of the meanings, but what does that mean to you? That's what I'm saying. Because the Quran is meant to be a lived experience. It's not meant to be just like a theoretical and a recited experience, but the Quran, subhanAllah, there was a companion who was very old, extremely old, like in his 80s and 90s, and he was in Baghdad. He was one of the last living companions. And there was a younger student of his, a tabi, who came over and saw him, and the companion, the sahabi, was very excited. He was extremely happy. So the tabi, he was like, "What's going on? Why are you so excited?" He goes, I finally finished the Quran. So the tabi was like, "What?" Tabi was like, "You just finished it? Like, are you serious?" You know? And he was sort of like, You're a sahabi, like you were there when it was being revealed. Like you should have finished it a long time ago. He said, "La khatamtu bil af'al. I finished it with my actions." You know what that means? He went through like an encyclopedia, every single page, verse, and he found what he should or should not do. And you know what his final one was? It's a really funny story. His final one was, in Surah An-Nur, Allah Ta'ala says that if you knock on the door of somebody and they don't answer, Allah Ta'ala says what? Go back. So he goes, I spent like the last few months going and visiting people and knocking and then like taking one step and they'd open the door. And he's like waiting. He's like, please don't open the door so I can leave and fulfill this final command. So that day, he was so happy. He goes, I went to someone's house and they were there, but they didn't answer. Right? Sounds like my lineage, right? They were there and they didn't answer. And he goes, I finally have been able to complete, okay, the Quran with my actions. That's what we're talking about, right? The Quran is meant to be lived. And in that way, when a person reads something, you guys ever seen people cry with the Quran? They're not crying because of just the theory of it. They're crying because of the reality of it, right? They're crying because of the reality of it. There was one time a person who came from Morocco to visit Imam Malik in Medina. And he asked him a list of questions, okay? And Imam Malik, to like 90% of the questions, said, I don't know, okay? And the person became frustrated because this is Imam Malik. Imam Malik is like the smartest person of the time, according to the Muslim culture, right? The pop culture of the time, the Muslim world. Especially with, you know, he's in the fact that he's in Medina, he's there teaching hadith in the Prophet in the masjid. Like, what do you mean you don't know? So he actually says to him, he says, you are Imam Malik. The guy asked him a question, you are Imam Malik. What do you mean you don't know? So Imam Malik becomes a little bit, you know, like he becomes shy. So he says, look, just come back to me tomorrow. Okay, I'm sorry. Like, I'll look it up. Let me go look it up. Okay, which by the way, when you ask them a question, like give them time to look it up. I know that, like, you know, we think that everyone just knows everything, but like sometimes you need time to look things up, okay? So he said, let me go look it up. So the guy's like, oh, thank God. So he goes and he sleeps and he wakes up the next morning and he goes, okay, Imam Malik, what are the answers? He goes, I don't know. And the guy became frustrated. So he said, you are Imam Malik. You are the leader of the city. You are in the Prophet's city. You are Imam Darul Hijra, Imam Medina. You are the Imam. What do you mean you don't know? And then he says this line. He says, can't you handle these very light things? These are like light questions, right? He said, can't you handle these light things? And Imam Malik starts crying. Just when he says that, starts crying. He's not crying because he doesn't know. He's not crying because he's embarrassed. He says, هَلْ سَمِعْتَ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى? Didn't you hear the words of Allah when Allah said, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا? You just called this light? Allah called it heavy. You called it light. Allah said, this is heavy. Do you take this stuff seriously? Are you seriously treating this like cotton candy? This is real. And he heard that. He heard the phrase light and he thought instantly about what Allah said about it. He started crying. Right? Hassan al-Basri, very famously, one time somebody handed him a glass of cold water. Students from year two. Handed him a glass of cold water. He took a sip and as soon as the cold water touched his lips, he fainted. He passed out. They said, what's up? What happened? They like woke him up. They're like, what's going on? And he said, as soon as the water touched my lips, I thought of the statement of the people of Jahannam in the Quran, where they will be begging the people of Jannah, give us anything, even just cold water. And he's like, that's the first thing came across, and I just passed out. Now, look, don't expect me to pass out when I take a sip of this right now. I was like, you phony, right? He's the Family Guy, the fake piano player. You phony. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is like there are certain moments and readings and internalizations of this book that when you read them, it will shake you, right? But it only happens when you do this reflection. Okay, so ba. Ba means a few different things. Okay, we're going to go over a few of them because some of them sort of go together. Number one is that ba can mean with. Okay, ba ma'iyya, the ba of with. Okay, bismillah. Okay, believe it or not, this is all we're going to get to tonight. This is how Surah Al-Fatiha rolls. There's a scholar that did a 20-hour lecture on Surah Al-Fatiha. 20 hours. Okay? With Allah. What does it mean when you step into something and you say Bismillah when your meaning is with Allah? What is it? You're not alone. Who said that? MashaAllah. You're not alone. Why would you say that? Why would you think that? When you say Bismillah, Allah, I'm with Allah, that means I'm not alone. Why would you say that? Courage. Have you guys ever been scared before? Just me? I'm about to walk into like what's going to look like a murder scene tonight. Musa cut his lip. And you know children, they're wild. You try to hold them down, they're like, no. And like blood squirting everywhere, right? So I'm going to, like, when I step into the house, you best believe I'm going to say Bismillah, right? Because I know that by myself I can't handle this, right? With Allah. When I'm alone, I am nothing. When I'm with Allah, everything is nothing. That's it. Nothing can be stopped. Like Allah Ta'ala with me, nothing can get in my way. I'm good, right? This is what Ibn Atta'illah says. When you are by yourself, even small things become difficult. When you are with Allah, great things become easy, right? But that only happens when you say Bismillah. You guys ever been struggling with something and like that saint in your life says, say Bismillah. Your mom, your dad, your grandparents, right? Like, did you say Bismillah? Right? And you're like, oh, I forgot. You say it and then all of a sudden something good happens. You lost something, you can't find your keys. You're like, where are they? You start checking the Nest Cam, you start looking between cushions, right? And then someone from upstairs is like, did you say Bismillah? And you're like, did you say Bismillah? Right? Like, you're like mock them back. You're like, how's that going to help? You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I think we scared when we left. Right? But when they say that, what are they telling you? You're by yourself right now. If you're with Allah, you'll get there. Okay? That's number one. Okay? Is bad ma'iyya. The second one is causal. Sababiyya. Ba sababiyya. What does that mean? Similar, but there's a very unique distinction. When you say something is causal, what are you saying? When something causes something, what does that mean? Theology students, when something causes something, what are you saying? That in the absence of that thing, is it going to happen or not? Interesting. So when you read Bismillah, ba sababiyya, this is because of Allah. You know what I mean? Now when you eat, it's different. Ba sababiyya, when you eat, this food that I'm about to eat is because of Allah. Man, you can't take a single bite without thinking of Allah and being grateful. Right? Ba sababiyya is like, not just the food. Have you ever tried to think about the flow of how food gets to you? Do you guys ever think about that? Like this fried chicken tonight. Let's do an experiment, okay? This chicken tender tonight. How did this get here? Thanks, Amy. I got here because of Amy, okay? Amy got it from Crispy Crunchy. MashaAllah, shout out Crispy Crunchy. Okay. How did they get it? A farm? Even that's skipping a lot of steps. Someone there cooked it. Okay. Someone there had to cook it. And they had to cook it to 165, hopefully. Otherwise, you guys, we don't assume any liability for anyone tonight in their bathroom for a long time. Okay. They had to cook it to a certain temperature to make sure that it's safe to eat. Okay, and that person had to get trained and hired and all that kind of stuff. And they had to be hired and then trained, hopefully, in that order. And then they had to do all of that. And the supplies and the resources, the permit from the city, the food code, the oil, delivering, make sure it's refrigerated, all of that, all the way back to the farm. The chickens had to be born, then raised, and then unraised, if you know what I mean, and then processed. And after being processed, then it was, you know. But it's crazy because all we think about is what? Oh, sweet chicken. Right? How many chances are there on that line for things to go wrong? For something to not happen? For a Suez Canal situation? Right? For someone to make a U-turn in the Suez Canal with a boat. A giant boat. How many chances in your life, in anything, is there a chance for things to go south? Like, are you calculating this stuff? Are you like in the matrix still? Like, think about this. At any given moment, there is a chance for tragedy and catastrophe. And it is a miracle of Allah that it doesn't happen. Right? Don't get too deep with it because it can get a little scary. But just think about this. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that around every person, surrounding every person, there are angels. And if those angels weren't there, everybody, by the way, not just Muslims, everybody. And if those angels were not there, that person would be destroyed. That person would be destroyed. Meaning what? That the angels Allah Ta'ala has sent you. You guys read the story of Battle of Badr. You think it's super miraculous. Wow, the angels came and fought with the Muslims. You have angels fighting for you every day. You just can't see them. But they're doing stuff for you every day. Right? Sheikh Omar Suleiman has an incredible video series on angels where he goes into this topic. You guys ever like had to slam the brakes at a light because you looked up and you saw it too late? And just at that moment, a car goes flying by, another person on their phone? Just like you were, right? Okay? Some people, like when that happens, are like, man, I could be Jason Bourne right now. Like, I am so good. Look at those reflexes, you know? Give me that light game, right? No, man, like there are structures that Allah has created and put in place to protect you. And when we leave the house and say what? Bismillahi, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I will tell you the craziest story. It happened to my friend. A friend of mine who lives in Houston. We're not going to talk about Houston. We're just going to say it exists, okay? Houston, the city that if Richardson was just a big city. Okay, so, okay. That's really mean. Richardson has good food. So, okay. So, my friend, he was traveling and he was coming home from a overnight shift. Okay, 12 hours. And he comes home and this is the first time, not the first time, but this is, you know, he's relatively young. He's kind of living by himself. He's figuring things out. And he walks into his house and he goes around the front and he notices that there's like this smell. He's like, did I change the garbage? Like, my cat die? Like, what happened, right? So he goes and checks and everything. Like, the litter's empty, cat's fine, garbage bag's empty, whatever. He's just kind of like, maybe something went bad in the fridge. So he goes to the fridge and looks. He's got a few things in there. You know how it is, right? Produce drawer, you're like, I'm not going to open that for a while, right? So we're like, we'll just let whatever's cooking in there go, right? A little biology experiment. And so he's looking, he's like, I can't really find it. And it's happened, right? You guys walk into your house, you smell something. It's not like super offensive. He's not like, oh God, but it's just bothering him, okay? And so he looks around. Maybe he's like, I left the load in the washer or something too long. I don't know. So he's like walking around and he's like, whatever, I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna quickly just make some food and eat because I'm really hungry. So he goes to the fridge, he grabs some food and he puts it in a pan and he puts the pan on the stove and he looks and the knob is already turned. Okay, and his fingers were on it, and you know, like, I don't know if you guys are like me, but there's certain tasks that, like, when you're there, you're already going to retry it three times. You're like plugging in a USB, you're like, and then it goes in the first time, even though it didn't go in the first time, right? So he turns his hand to the knob, he looks at it, and he told me, he's like, dude, I was 1 centimeter away from turning it to the spark, the light. So he, like, you know, has an adrenaline rush, walks away slowly, turns it off as best he can, calls the fire department. They come, they walk in, they have this like detector, I guess that they do, that senses how much methane or whatever it is in the air. The guy told him, he said, were you gonna turn this on? And my friend, he's sitting down, he says, yeah. The guy said, your house would have exploded and your neighbor's houses would have exploded. This would have been catastrophic. He's like, you would have been blown apart. It wasn't him. That was Allah. What, like, do we think that we have the frame of mind to catch ourselves? Like, we're so automatic, like, we can't even stop, like, opening up apps. And he thinks, you know, you think you have the reaction speed to stop yourself from just turning a knob that you weren't even aware that this was the smell you were smelling. That's Allah. Now, think about your own life. And that's why you walk in, you say, Bismillah, Assalamu Alaikum. With Allah, I'm protected. With Allah, I'm in a good spot. With Allah. Now, you won't know. Like, sometimes you won't know, right? Until the time comes. But in those moments, you remember that Allah Ta'ala was there with you. Okay, so number one, with. Number two, causal. By Allah's presence, this happened. And had Allah's presence, had I not invoked it, it would have not been there. Okay? Number three is that, and these are all kind of similar, so we'll just do three, inshallah. We're not going to do all seven, because it's already 7:51. That, well, this is kind of the same. Okay, let's just stop at two, inshallah, for now. Okay? Then ism. Okay? Ism, bismillah, the name. What is in a name? How important are names? Do you guys like your name? Okay? What do you guys like about your name? Identity. It's your identity. Okay? Unique. Yeah, your name is Humayun. Anyone here Humayun? Proof. You're super unique, mashallah. Okay? Right? What else? When you guys hear someone else's your name, you kind of get happy? Yeah. Yeah? I have a joke. Any other Abdurrahmans here? Oh, wow. This is crazy. Guys, growing up, Abdurrahman was like not the name. You know how now it's like Musa, Isa, Salman. Everyone's name is Salman. How many Salmans we got? Okay, this is crazy. Oh, it's because you're not children. That's why. But if you talk to children, like in Musa's class, there's like 14 Salmans. Half of them are girls. I'm like, guys, we need to like really... That name is just in right now, okay? Like it's going to start happening on those Disney keychains. Your name is your identity. Your name is your identity. It's what you want people to remember you by. So when you tell someone what your name is, right, your goal in that moment is for people to remember you and to know you. And you wouldn't want to abbreviate your name. I mean, there's an entire genre of the internet that's dedicated to taking pictures of baristas, poor baristas, who misspell your name. And it's very offensive because you're like, it's not that hard, right? I gave you my name. I spelled it for you. You should be able to. If you get someone's name wrong, it's really offensive, right? It's really hurtful to get someone's name incorrectly, right? And so what is in a name? The name Allah. And just to kind of share with you this, like what does the name Allah mean to you and mean to me? Like what does it mean to you when you hear the word Allah, when you see the word Allah? What does that mean to you? Huda? What does the name Allah mean to you when you see it?
Greatness.
Greatness, right? You revel in the magnitude of Allah Ta'ala. Very good. Anyone else? Huh? Protector. Okay, so you might feel safe. What else? Merciful. Very good. Okay, what else? The Creator. Okay, so when you see these words, it reminds you of these characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remembering the name of Allah, you know, some people are like, well, what good is it for me to just sit and do dhikr? What good is it for me to sit and say, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, masha'Allah. Do you guys realize that at every instance in your life, there's something to say that contains the name Allah? Isn't that insane? It's amazing. It's incredible because at every given moment, no matter what moment you're in, the remembrance of Allah will come into you and it will evoke within you some sort of emotion. Okay? Now, this is what's gonna, inshallah, finish us off tonight. And we'll take some questions at the end. Someone then on that plane, let's go back to that plane ride, says, tell me about yourself. Okay, Sada, I'm gonna call on you. Can I call on you, Sada? Dr. Sada? Can I call on you?
Yes.
Tell me about yourself.
I'm a family physician.
Okay, so very good, okay? So we have Sada here, everybody. Say assalamu alaikum. Part of our community. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm kind of a barista. Okay, Sada H, we have here. Tell me two things about yourself.
I am half Libyan.
Very good. And then?
Enjoy cooking.
Okay, you enjoy cooking. Mashallah, and you're a phenomenal cook, mashallah. Okay, so Sara, Doctora Sara Hameda, who's a family MD, and she's half Libyan, and she loves to cook. Mashallah, you should try the mbakbaka, right? I got it? Okay. All right, very good. Anyone else? Can I call on someone else? Anybody? Yeah, go ahead. See, just you can't. Yeah, go for it. Okay. How do you spell it? A-M-I-N. I'm not gonna get that wrong. Okay, Amin, tell us about yourself. What are two things that you want everyone to know about you?
I study international relations.
Okay, I'm just gonna write study. I'm just gonna draw like a world. International relations. Okay, go ahead. And?
I'm Palestinian Egyptian.
MashaAllah. So you say, Ahla wa sahlan, Umma Dunya. Okay. Anyone else? Last one? Anyone else? Yeah, Mariam. Okay, good. I know you, I think, in a house, Mariam. Mariam, right? Yeah?
I'm a dentist.
Dentist? And coffee, mashallah. Wow, that's kind of a little interesting tension there. Even. All my dentist friends, I talk like this. Okay, all right. So it's interesting, okay? Now, I don't know if it's because Sada, again, this isn't very scientific, but I don't know if it's because Sada started with the template, right, that Amin jumped in and kind of mentioned his professional aspirations and then his ethnicity, and then Sada went, or Mariam went to dentist. But generally speaking, okay, when you introduce yourself to somebody or when you're talking about something, you will gravitate towards the things that you admire the most about yourself. It's pretty reasonable, right? Okay? Like, anyone here have kids? How many times when you're asked about who you are, do you start with, I'm a father, I'm a mother? Anybody? I have two kids. Let me show you pictures. They're like, no, you really don't have to. Like, no, I want to. I want to. You need to see this. All right? You need to understand this. Okay? So you start with that. And why? You do that because it's what you love. It's what you want that person to remember you by. You want that person that it doesn't matter what else we talk about, I don't want you to forget this. Okay? So if we met Sada next week and said, Sada, what do you do again? Are you a consultant? She'd be like, dude, that was the first thing I told you about myself. I'm a physician. I'm a doctor, right? Or if we asked, you know, Mariam, we're like, you don't like coffee, right? She's like, excuse me, that was literally the first thing that I told you, is that I'm a dentist who likes coffee. You should remember that tension for the rest of your life, okay? Next time your dentist tells you not to drink coffee, you're like, I know a dentist who drinks coffee, okay? So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about himself? Very good. Very good, Amr Bayi. Allah make him a scholar, inshallah. Okay. Allah tells us these two things. Yes. Ar-Rahman. Oh my God. Sorry. Apple pencils are not. They're like, there's no friction. So it's like very difficult to like stop your hand. Okay. Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Allah, in his infinite wisdom, I want everyone to take this home, because this is like the heaviest thing theologically that anyone can understand. Allah could have told you in his introduction to you anything about himself that he wanted. Allah could have told you that he's Al-Jabbar, the one who compels. He could have told you that he's Al-Kabir, the great. He could have told you that he is Al-Ghani, the one who has no need. He could have told you that he is Al-Qawi, the strong, and Al-Azim, the mighty. Like, there's so many different descriptions. Why did Allah not only once, but twice, tell us about his mercy? Rahman is the one, let me tell you something, okay, who is so merciful that nobody can escape his mercy. Nobody can escape it. His mercy is so plentiful that even those who deny him, when they say, I don't believe in God, are using the oxygen that he gave them to make that claim. That's his mercy. Okay? Ar-Rahim is the one whose mercy is so great that nobody can quantitatively get above his experience of mercy. Like, nobody's more merciful than Allah in the amount of people that are touched by it or in the experience of it. Allah's mercy is all-encompassing. And that's the first thing he wants you to know about him. He doesn't want you to think about anything else. When he introduces himself to you, he says, I want you to know that I am the most merciful, and I am the most merciful. That no matter who you are, my mercy is with you. And no matter what you've done, my mercy, you are eligible for it. And no one that you know will be able to give you an experience of mercy greater than me. Now, remember what we said, Surah Al-Fatiha is asas al-Qur'an, is the foundation. Everything that you look at in the Qur'an, you have to view through Surah Al-Fatiha. We haven't even got there yet. We're just in the Basmala. We're literally just starting in this. And guess what? Spoiler alert, he says it again. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When do you do that? Hey, did you forget what I said earlier? When you really want someone to remember what you told them, you say it again. Is this the Allah that we've learned about? And this is the sad part, is that if I were to ask all of us in this room to introduce Allah to somebody for the first time, put yourself in those shoes, how would you have described him? Chances are, and I'm guilty of this, we would have described him in a way, we would have started to describe him in the way that he did not even begin to describe himself in that way. Right? Even, and they're all good. He's the creator of everything. There has to be a reason as to why Allah started this way. You know why? Because more than we need air, we need Allah's mercy. Because if you live without his mercy, your life is pointless. More than you need to breathe, you need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because once your life is over, you still need that mercy. Mercy is the lifeblood that every person needs. And it is the inspiration that allows us to be merciful to each other. Man la yarham la yurham. That Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever's not merciful to somebody else, you're not going to get mercy. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. Right? Be merciful to those people on the earth, Allah ta'ala, the one who's in the heavens, will be merciful to you. This mercy that Allah tells us about is meant to give us conviction, is meant to give us restoration, is meant to give us relief, is meant to give us a sense of comfort, and is meant to motivate us to carry on that mercy to other people. Because how dare we say that we follow the faith of Allah and not teach people the mercy that he showed us, right? And this is on every level, with your parents, with your friends, with your siblings. If we withhold that mercy from somebody, realize that Allah Ta'ala has mercy that we need, that we will be withholding ourselves from. And this is Allah. We'll go ahead and stop here, inshallah. We just did the Basmala tonight. I'm sorry, I was trying to get some more done, but it's so profound. We didn't even go into all seven, right? We just did two. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us recipients of his mercy. We ask Allah ta'ala to make us people who are constantly, always cognizant of his mercy upon us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who, when we open the Quran, we reflect like this and better like this, that we're able to bring a verse of Quran to life after just talking about it for 1 hour, that we're able to now remember every time we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We realize that this moment that we're reciting this verse is more powerful than we ever realized. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us tawfiq and to uplift us. We ask Allah Ta'ala to untangle any of the difficulties that we find ourselves in. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the courage to be able to transcend all of our fears. We ask Allah Ta'ala to allow us to be able to come back from the shortcomings that we have. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to allow us to follow the example of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Anyone have any questions before we wrap up? Anything? Yeah.
Are you going to cover the other five next time?
Yeah, I'll summarize it because they're very similar. Like one of them is like the bat of resource, which is very similar to with, right? They have minor, very nuanced differences, and the way that I explain them, I did a bad job because it's not really going to allow for room between them. So I kind of gave you like two major categories. Okay, so I can give them to you, inshallah. But yeah, there's the seven meanings of ba. Anybody else? Yeah.
Are there any books or resources where we can, what you weren't able to cover, or you guys reference for this for Surah Fatiha?
any books or resources for Fatiha, a study of it, a good tafsir would be good. You can use like something like maybe In the Shade of the Quran. Yeah, which is good. Yes?
Is there a Rus next Monday?
Is a Rus next Monday? TBD, inshallah. Because we're going out of town and we don't know if we're leaving Monday or Tuesday. If we're leaving Tuesday, then we'll have Rus Monday, inshallah. Okay? All right, inshallah. Yes? Huh? How would you explain Rahman Rahim to kids? Very good question. Okay, Rahman is the one who's nice to everybody. And Rahim is the nicest person. So I would say, do you know that there's a kid out there that's friends with everybody? Yes. Okay, who's the best friend? Oh, it's this one. Okay, Rahman and Rahim is both of those. That this person is the nicest and everyone's best friend. Like nobody feels like they're closer to anybody else besides this one. And this person still is nice to everybody. And isn't that crazy? That's how the Prophet ﷺ was described. Everyone thought they were his best friend. Okay, let's wrap up. JazakAllah khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.